destroyed someone else's property, literally destroyed it. You know better than that. Finally, the man's resentful teenage son came to him. He was in the worst trouble he had ever been, and it seemed he didn't know where else to turn. The boy had seen the good things that were happening between his father and his brother and sisters, and he somehow wanted to be part of it. He decided to take a chance. He told his father the truth. After he had told his father the obviously bad thing he'd done, the teenager didn't know what else to say, but it was clear that he was asking for help. The father had a lot of love, as well as a good deal of built-up frustration and anger towards his belligerent son. For some reason, it was more difficult for him to tell his firstborn how he felt, but he knew it was what the boy needed and what he was asking for. The reprimand was long overdue. The father looked him straight in the eye and said, "You have destroyed someone else's property, literally destroyed it. You know better than that. Your behavior has been unacceptable, and I'm tired of it. I'm frustrated, and I'm angry." Father's face was turning red and the veins were standing out in his neck. He was just beginning to get out the anger that had been there for years. But he was brief. He knew that he would have other opportunities to express his anger, although just as briefly. He looked at his son in the eyes and quickly repeated for the second time, "I am angry." During the brief but deadly silence that followed, the boy felt his father's anger. He did not like what he was experiencing. At that moment, the youngster disliked his father, and he resented the way he was being spoken to. He began to think of all the reasons he had for doing what he had done. He was just about to talk back when the father took a deep breath and then gently placed his hand on his son's shoulder. He said quietly, "Son, you not only know better, you are better. You're going to have to replace what you've destroyed. But you can do it. You're a good person. You know that, and I know that. You are a good and worthwhile person, son." The father paused. Then he said, "And I love you." The man gave his son a big hug. The boy didn't know what to do. He started to hug his father, but then pulled away and walked off. Later, the teenager readily agreed to replace what he had destroyed. He returned a few days after that to talk with his father, but he still wasn't comfortable. "Thanks, Dad," was all he said. The father heard a great deal more. Soon, the man found that he was using the one-minute reprimand as his only method of discipline with all of his children. Within a few short months, he was getting very good results. Every child seemed to want to behave better. Even the older boy, whom he had to reprimand more frequently than the others, had improved both his behavior and attitude. The children were really beginning to feel good about themselves. The family was beginning to enjoy being a family. The father wished he had learned about the reprimand when his wife was alive. They would all have enjoyed life more. Things were going very well, in fact, until the supermarket incident. The man had taken his children shopping for a few groceries. His youngest daughter was sitting in the folded-out toddler's chair in the shopping cart. Without warning, she began to whine and beg for Daddy to place all the goodies in the cart for her. She then began to pull off the nearby shelves and send them plummeting into the cart. Her whining grew worse. The father had always thought that the sound of a whining child reminded him at best of someone dragging fingernails across a blackboard. He had made that known to his children. When the father gave his little daughter a look that said, "You've got it coming now, kiddo," the little girl smiled. Then she grinned a happy look and said joyfully, "Rep me, man, Daddy. Rep me, man." The father thought, "This isn't working out. She's supposed to want to avoid a reprimand, not look forward to it." The disquieted father wheeled his youngster outside, where in private he gave her a very brief but spirited reprimand for her unacceptable behavior. The little girl soon seemed to feel better. She relaxed and gave her dad a big hug. She was very good for the rest of the day. But the father was confused. "What is it I'm doing wrong?" he asked himself. Father drove home from the supermarket, his car full of groceries and children. The youngsters vied for his attention. However, he was deep in thought. There just has to be a better way, he reflected. I don't want to do nothing but reprimand my children. It is tiring, and I can certainly think of better ways to spend time with them. The father had to admit, however, that he was a lot less tired since he had begun to use only this faster and more effective discipline method. Still, he thought, there has to be a better way. There is more to good parenting than just good discipline. I want my children to do more than act well-behaved. I want them to think of themselves as individual winners, each in his or her own way. But how do I do that? The father continued to drive and think. He looked at the car in front of him. The bumper sticker caught his eye. It read, "Have you hugged your child today?" To the father's surprise, his immediate reaction was no. That is, not unless it's at the end of a one-minute reprimand. The father then knew what his children had been trying to tell him. He realized why his teenage son had gotten into the worst trouble he'd been in lately, and he knew why his little girl had misbehaved in the supermarket. It was the best way, the father now saw, to get my undivided attention for at least one full minute. It was the sure way to get a hug from me and to hear me say, "I love you." In that moment, the father also realized that he had done nothing when his children behaved. Nothing, absolutely nothing. One of the children began to act up in the car, and it attracted his attention. He looked at his children, then he laughed. "What's so funny, Daddy?" the oldest girl asked. "I just thought of a joke," he said. "One I played on myself," he promised. "I'll tell you later, honey." And he knew he would. Then he turned back to his thoughts. At first, the man was defensive with himself. Why should I have done anything when my children weren't misbehaving, he thought. They were just doing what they were supposed to be doing. My parents didn't do anything when I behaved. Then the man indeed found a better way. He decided that was the last day his children would have to misbehave in order to get his full attention. The father was glad it was the beginning of a weekend. It would give him time to do something different with his children. After they all got home, the man watched his two older daughters at play in the yard. Then he saw what he was looking for. When he spoke, he startled his two children. "Young ladies, come in here right now." The girls looked at each other as if to say, "What did we do?" They couldn't imagine what they had done wrong. They came into their father reluctantly. The children had felt closer to their father over the last few months, and they had grown to love him more, but they also still feared him. "I saw what you just did," the father said. He looked at them, touched each of them, and said, "I saw you two share your things with each other." The two girls smiled at one another. Then the father smiled too and said, "I want you to know how happy I am. I feel very good knowing what generous young ladies I have for children. I'm really glad you two live in our house." The father briefly hugged each of his daughters and said, "I love you." The children just stood there looking at their father. When he didn't say anything, they slowly turned and walked away. They weren't sure what to make of it, but they smiled, and they felt good. His children didn't know it yet, but the man had made a decision as he was driving. He was going to start catching his children doing something right. And when he did, he was going to give them something he had just invented himself, a one-minute praising. It would be a gift he would give to his children frequently. Father smiled as he saw his young daughter's reaction. He was pleased that he had acted on his decision so soon. He thought, "If they're amazed, I can hardly wait to see my older boy's reaction." The father had to admit that while he still did not like some of the older boy's attitudes, he knew that they were due in part to the fact that the boy had been ignored for so long. The man was not going to apologize constantly for his past behavior, and he was not going to accept the responsibility for the boy's attitude either. In fact, the father had given the boy more than one effective reprimand for his bad attitude. However, the father knew that his son was basically good. He had decided that if he had waited until his son did something perfectly right, he might have to wait for a very long time. So he decided he would catch his teenager doing something approximately right. While he waited for an appropriate opportunity with his son, he thought about what he was doing for his children. I help my children realize that they are already winners. I catch them doing something right. Before long, the man's teenage son came into the room. The father and son hadn't talked much, except occasionally after a reprimand. Can I borrow the car? The boy asked in a surly tone. The words dad and please were still not part of the resentful teenager's vocabulary. Sure, the boy heard to his amazement. The father knew that what he was about to do next would be neither believed nor trusted by his son, at least not at first. But the man decided that from now on he would simply tell the boy the truth. The simple truth will eventually win out, the father reminded himself. The truth is the only thing he'll trust. Then the father went over and briefly touched his older boy's shoulder. Thanks for asking, son. I appreciate it when you ask for permission. Some kids just take the car, and that leads to problems. You ask. Then he added, you're a good man. At first the boy didn't know what to say. Then he mumbled, thanks. The father smiled, touched his son briefly on the forearm, and said, I love you. The man returned to his chair. It had taken less than 1 minute. As the boy left the room, he looked back over his shoulder at his father. By the end of the second day of unannounced one-minute praisings, all five children had noticed the change in their father, and they all wondered what was happening. After dinner, the father gathered all his children together and said, I imagine you're wondering what's going on. You better believe it, the younger son said. Well, let me tell you, the father offered. The man turned to his eldest daughter and said, Remember, honey, when we were riding in the car and you asked me what I was laughing about, and I said it was a joke one I'd played on myself? Yes, she said, delighted that her father had remembered. And you promised you'd tell me. Well, as I was driving along, I was admitting to myself that I really don't pay that much attention to you children when you behave well. I pay attention to you when you misbehave. Then the father smiled. And just as I was thinking that, one of you started to misbehave. The children grinned. One of them laughed. Well, I started to laugh too, the father said, because it was a great example of what happens in our family. I wasn't paying attention to any of you, so what did one of you do? I started arguing with my little brother, one of the girls admitted. Well, now, how would you like it if sometimes I did notice you when you were doing well? Sure, that would be great, the daughter said. Under his breath, just loud enough for everyone to hear, the teenage boy said, It's about time. The father gave his son a look that showed he was annoyed by the boy's comments. Sorry, the boy said slowly, I'm sorry. The whole family was amazed. It was the first decent thing the boy had said to his father for some time. The boy was beginning to change. The father smiled and nodded his thanks. Then he said, The truth is, son, you're right. It is about time. And I think it's also about time, the father noted, that you and I started to treat one another the way we'd each like to be treated. It's tough enough out there in the real world without beating each other up at home. We would all do better if we started catching each other at home doing something right. No one spoke, but everyone agreed. It makes life easier, the father said, when we know how we're really doing. So I'm going to try to help you by letting you know when you're doing well and when you're doing poorly. When you're doing something I don't like, I'll let you know, the father said. Tell us about it, the little boy said. Everyone laughed, including the father. I have been good about that lately, haven't I? Yes, the eldest daughter said, you have. And to tell you the truth, Dad, it's helped. When she went over and gave her dad a hug and said, I love you, no one said anything, but everyone felt love in the room. Finally, the father spoke, Thanks, honey, that felt good. You know, I could also use some praisings. Parents are people, too. The children had never thought of that. Then the younger boy grinned and said, I really like your idea, Dad, about giving us 1 minute praisings. He thought for a moment. Then the youngster went over to his dad, put his little hand up on his father's big shoulder, looked him straight in the eye, and said, You talk to us more now, Dad. In fact, you treat us like we're real people, and I want you to know how I feel about that. I feel real good. The children all laughed, even the older boy. They all knew a 1 minute praising when they heard one, and they all enjoyed it. Then the little boy quietly said, I love you, Dad. He hugged his father very tightly. The man started to choke up, but hid it from his children. When he recovered, he said with a laugh, "Thanks, son, I needed that." The man hadn't learned yet to let his children see his deepest feelings, and he also knew that he wasn't always as good at talking about his feelings with his children as he would like to be. But he did it sometimes, and now he was beginning to be very effective. It was obvious to the children that he was trying, and they liked him all the more for it. The father was already happy that he had decided to catch his children doing something right every now and then and to give them one-minute praisings. He reviewed in his mind how much they were like the last half of the one-minute reprimand. He found it useful to summarize what he'd learned to do. One-minute praisings work well when, number one, I tell my children ahead of time that I'm going to praise them when they do something that makes me feel good, and I encourage them to do the same with me. Number two, I catch my children doing something right. Number three, I tell my children specifically what they did. Number four, then I tell them how good I feel about what they did and why it makes me feel so good. Number five, I stop talking for a few seconds. The silence lets them feel the good feelings themselves. Six, then I tell them that I love them. Seven, I end the praising with a hug, or at least a light touch to let them know I care. Eight, the praising is short and sweet. When it's over, it's over. Nine, I realize that it takes me only a minute to praise my children, but feeling good about themselves may last them for a lifetime. 10. I know that what I am doing is good for my children and for me. I feel really good about myself. As the months went by, the one-minute father, as his children now affectionately called him, really began to appreciate his youngsters, and the children appeared to enjoy one another. They seemed to like themselves more than they had ever before. The father was glad he and his children were giving and receiving reprimands and praisings with all due respect to the other person. Everyone in the family, including the father, felt better since the communications had improved. They had become a happier family. The father sat in his living room one evening, relaxing and thinking. Earlier in the evening, he had watched one of his youngsters doing her homework. It had started him thinking about how people think. The successful man knew from his work experience that people respond better when they are more involved. But how, he wondered, can my children get more involved in running their own lives? The father knew that if he could find a way, it would make life a lot easier for them and for him. Then he remembered something very basic. Goals begin behaviors. Consequences maintain behaviors. The father saw that he had emphasized the consequences of his children's behavior, but as the father thought about the happiest and most successful individuals he knew, he remembered one of the things they had in common, goals. They knew what they wanted out of life. He recalled most of the people who succeed have a very clear idea of how they want to succeed. However they define success, love, money, peace of mind, whatever, they clearly know what they eventually want to have. The financially successful man had studied the power of setting goals at work, although he had not considered applying it to his home life. He knew that most of the very highest achievers in the world, whether their achievements are physical or financial or artistic or whatever, have written and specific goals. The next highest group of achievers have goals, but they are not written or specific. These people are also successful, but they realize only a fraction of what the top achievers experience. The vast majority of people are not clear on what their goals are, and they experience a great deal less of what they would enjoy in life. As the father reviewed these facts, he recalled Pareto's law. The 16th century economist had observed that in Italy, fewer than 20% of the people had more than 80% of the wealth. As he looked at other nations, he found the same distribution, regardless of economic, political, or social structure. Today, the father thought, you can see the same phenomenon. A few people get the most of the good things in life, emotional or physical love, good friends, financial security, and so on. While it has been true for centuries, it seems a bit unfair, he mused, that one person should get 4 pieces of the prosperity pie, while 4 people have to share the 1 piece that remains. Just then, one of his daughters came into the living room and asked, "Can you help me with my English, Dad?" The girl was strong in math and science, but not in the humanities. 2 months ago, she would have tried to bluff the answer, but now she was gaining confidence and she was making a greater effort. The father spent the early part of the evening helping his daughter learn how to help herself. When she left, he thought, "We are all stronger in some areas than in others." The father knew that in his own case, he had been stronger in his work life than in his home life, but he was changing that. He thought more about what he wanted for his children. He knew he did not want them to be conforming, perfectly behaved little people. Too many children had had their spontaneous spirits broken in the name of behaving themselves. He realized that some of the most interesting people in the world had been difficult children. The more he thought about it, the more fascinated he became. He looked closely at the word behave. 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 Be. Have. Be what? He wondered. Have what? "I guess I want my children to be the kind of people they feel they can be and to have a great attitude about themselves and about life." A good attitude, the father decided, would be the greatest gift a parent could give a child. Then the father realized what he was doing, and he laughed at himself. "Here I am trying to figure out what is good for them. They should be the ones doing this, not me." The father was interrupted again. It was his eldest daughter. "Dad, can we have the Wilsons over this weekend? Just the kids?" The father thought of 4 more children in the house from Friday to Sunday night. When she saw her father hesitating, she said, "It's important for us cousins to spend some time together, Dad." The child knew which button to push. Dad was into families now. The father agreed to the visit. He liked his brother's children sometimes, but 9 children in the house for the entire weekend? By the time Friday night arrived, the father was ready. As soon as the cousins arrived, he sat all of the children down at the dining room table and told them they were going to join him briefly for a goal-setting meeting. "All of us really want to enjoy this weekend, and neither you nor I want me to have to monitor you all the time, so I've got an idea. Everybody get a pencil and a piece of paper." When they returned, the children were asked, "What do you want to have happen while you are together?" The children all began to talk at once. The father asked for quiet and said, "I want you to write down on a single sheet of paper what you each want from the weekend." They did. Then they went around the table and all of them read their lists of desires. They soon concluded they couldn't do that much in a year. They limited it to, 1, have a lot of fun, 2, stay up late one night and talk, 3, make cookies and popcorn, 4, go to a movie, 5, go to the video arcade once, 6, sleep outside at night, or one night, 7, have a barbecue on the patio. The father said, "We have some of our goals now. The next is to agree. I'll speak for myself. I agree to all your goals except sleeping outside one night. The neighbors would really be upset with your noisy talking, yelling, and laughing." One of the older children offered, "Well, what if we agreed to talk quietly outside and go to sleep?" "Then I'd agree to that," the father responded. "So change that to sleep outside one night, talk quietly, and go to sleep. Please write it down." They did. Then one of them asked, "You said we have some of our goals. What are the others?" Well, the father asked, "What would you like if you were the parent with 9 children in your house?" The children just looked at one another. They were silent for a few seconds. Then one of the cousins said, "Well, be quiet when you're on the phone." He had obviously heard that one at home. "That's good. Please write it down on the same sheet of paper." The children came up with many other good ideas. Some of them were, 1, be quiet when someone is on the phone. 2, put away the sleeping bags. 3, always clean up after ourselves. 4, take out the garbage. 5, wash the dishes. 6, make our beds. 7, share our things with each other. 8, don't fight, get along with each other. "Congratulations," the father said. "You have just created your own 1-minute goals." "What?" several of them asked. "You have just painted a mental picture of what you want to see happen, and you have done it very well. Your goals are attainable and very specific." "Why are they called 1-minute goals?" the children wanted to know. "I'll show you," the father answered. Read what you have written down. Then please turn your paper over. I'm going to time you. The younger children took a little longer, but when they were finished, the father said, It took you only 1 minute or so to read your goals. Is that why they are called 1 minute goals? One of the children asked. Yes, and for a very important reason. Then the father suggested that they all write down the following words on the other side of their own pieces of paper. I take a minute. I look at my goals. I look at my behavior. I see if my behavior matches my goals. I get it, one of the cousins said. You want us to take a minute to look at our goals, and then to see if we're doing what we really wanted to do. That's almost exactly right, the father said. The more often we see in our minds what we want to have, the more likely we are to get it. However, let me correct one thing. Do I want you to get what you want, or do you? Do I want you to take a minute to review your goals quickly, or do you? Who are you really doing it for? The children laughed and said, Well, for herself. The father's older boy spoke up. I think we should have our own meeting now and decide how we want to divide up the jobs. We can do it. The father never did see anything in writing about what they decided, but things went very well from that point on, at least most of the time. The first night, one of his sons and a cousin got a little louder as they slept outside. The father called them in and gave them each a 1 minute reprimand in private. Then they behaved well. On Saturday and Sunday mornings, the man briefly gathered all the children together to let them review their own goals and behavior as a group. It was fun to listen to the discussion. The father was amused when he heard his children enthusiastically giving their cousins praisings and reprimands. He sensed it wouldn't be long before the cousins began to give his children clear messages as well. And he was happy for the youngsters, knowing that such communication leads to better relationships. The weekend turned out, in fact, to be one of the most enjoyable any of them had spent in a good while. As the cousins left, saying thanks several times, the father gave himself a praising. He had used 1 minute goals, praisings, and reprimands. He saw how well it worked. After the successful weekend, the father introduced his children to I goals. Remember how we set our goals together? Well, those were we goals, the goals that two or more members of the family agree on. Now, how would you like to learn something that is strictly for your own benefit? Well, that would be great, they responded. Then just write down what you would like to see happen to you as though you were already doing something about it. Include when you would like to see it happen. For example, one of mine is, I have good health. I'm eating wisely and jog 3 miles a day by May the 5th. It didn't take the children long to make up their own lists of goals. They included, I have become a cheerleader. I am practicing the routines every day. Final tryouts are on March 11th. I have good feelings about myself. I am catching myself doing something right. I feel good by May the 1st. As the father saw his children's dreams on paper, he realized how quickly he and they were learning to enjoy a better life together. He reviewed what they were doing. 1 minute goals work well for our family when, number one, we have clear goals as a family, we goals, and as individuals, I goals. Two, we strive for mutual agreement so we all feel we are getting what we want from the family. Three, we each write out our goals in 250 words or fewer on a single piece of paper, so it takes us only 1 minute or so to read them. Four, our goals are specific, showing exactly what we would each like to see happen and when. I have realized, I am doing, it has happened by. Five, we each reread our goals often in order to make them mental habits, a way of thinking. Six, I take a minute out every now and then. I look at my own goals. I look at my behavior. I see if my behavior matches my goals. 7. I encourage my children to do the same. 8. Once a week, we enjoy reviewing our goals and progress together as a family.